Hey guys, I'm your host Olivia, and you're listening to Season 1 of BCT. We are the Christian podcast that enables you guys to hear people from all different backgrounds talking about their real life stories of radical change. Follow and subscribe so you don't miss an episode. For those of you who don't know, at the start of each episode, I tell you guys a little fact about myself so you guys get to know me more and more. Today's fact is that I'm going to a festival next weekend with my dad. We're both very excited. I've also bought a purple cowgirl hat that I'll probably end up wearing on one of the days. Okay, so today I am chatting to Gemma Griffiths, and we're going to talk about how she became a Christian and a follower of Jesus and the challenges she has faced growing up to this point. Right, so hi Gemma.
Hi.
Tell me a little bit about yourself, your interests, likes, and what you do for a living.
Oh, the hard question. So I'm Gemma, I'm 33. I've been coming to Baglan since day one, since Baglan Church started. For a job, my job is, I'm going to try my best to explain this because I'm really bad at explaining what I do. I am the head of operations for a healthcare informatics consultancy, which is just a really fancy way of saying I keep all the contracts and everything in order for a healthcare IT recruitment specialist.
Okay.
I'm married, I've got two kids, two little girls, and yeah, I guess that's me.
Yeah, one of your office is in the church, isn't
it? Yes. So I work remote now, largely since COVID, and we're a paperless company. What we specialise in is actually electronic patient records, so everything we do is electronic. But yeah, we do have an office here, which has been our home for many years, actually. I think the 7 years that I've worked for the company, we've had an office here in the building,
yeah. Yeah, so cool. And you work with your husband as well, which
I do, I do. My husband and I both work from the kitchen table together. It's a good thing. We get on really well. We actually, how we met was working. Yes, we met through, we both met as teenagers working in a cinema. So we knew how to work with each other before we ever had a relationship. So it made it easier. That way, yeah.
Yeah, sometimes it's hard. You don't want to spend too much time with them. Yeah. But if you guys can work it out, then that's good.
Yeah, like so many people think we're weird. Like so many people think it's really odd that we worked and that we like working together. Yeah. And our roles are very, he's kind of the head of his department. I'm the head of mine and we're very in sync with each other.
Yeah.
So we work very closely together as well. But it works. I don't know. It's a weird one, but we like it.
Yeah, well, I'm glad it works. Yeah. So I'd love to hear then when you became a Christian.
Yeah, so I kind of have one of those typical kid raised in church stories, you know, kind of from an early age. I just knew that God was real. It kind of wasn't never like stories for me. Like I always knew it was real. When I was about six, I remember overhearing my mum telling my older sister that sin was like a black mark inside of you. And every time you sin, it gets bigger and bigger. But Jesus came and took that away from us so that if you believe in him, that black mark's no longer in you.
Yeah.
And that just really resonated with me from like a young age. And I just remember at that moment saying like, oh, like Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Thank you for taking away my sin. And yeah, I think it took me a few years to kind of realize that that's what being a Christian was, like that was it. Like growing up in an evangelical kind of setting, obviously there's a huge emphasis on the gospel. And I think because it's so simple, I think I tried to convince myself that I didn't get it, that it wasn't that simple, that like I prayed and that I knew God was there and that I had a relationship with him and that Jesus died for me. Like I was kind of almost overcomplicating it. And I used to go to the summer camps, the Christian camps. I know you go to them too.
Yeah.
And, I went to Camp Bala, actually, was the one that...
my fave.
That's such a great camp.
Yeah.
And that was the one when I was about 12. I think somebody asked me like, well, why aren't you a Christian then? Because I kept saying I wasn't sure. And I couldn't come up with an answer. And they were like, you are a Christian. You just don't know it. And I just like, that was when it clicked for me then.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was always like that before I like became a Christian. Or like, I guess I was a Christian. But I kept on like asking God for a sign or something.
Yeah,
as if
yeah.
like just that reassurance that I was.
Yeah, like every time I did something bad, I would pray and be like, oh God, please forgive me for my sins. Like every time. And it was just like it wasn't until I was like 12. So I was like, oh, it's done though. I don't need to keep doing it. Like as if I thought like I would all of a sudden not be a Christian because I yelled at my mum or something.
So Gemma, I understand that growing up you struggled a lot with your insecurities and your self-image. How did that affect your relationship with God?
Yeah, I think it's just really tough when you don't have a very good idea of your own self-worth. And like I said, like as a young child, I used to convince myself that like I didn't know or I didn't get it. when I was 12, so all around this time, like, so we, I realised I was a Christian. My parents actually, along with your parents and Helen and Andrew Wood, decided to, well, felt like God had put them on their hearts to start Baglan, which is really weird now for me as an adult to look back, because I think my mum, I'm 33 now, and I think my mum was around about my age, like 33, 34. Yeah. And if you said to me now, like, oh, right, I feel like we need to plant a church, do you want to join me? I would be like, yeah. So it was really weird, but it was such a strong example for me that, like, being a Christian is a real thing, that it's not just something, you don't just go to church on a Sunday and you kind of, you listen to the sermon and then you go home and you live a life and you think you're a good person. Like, it was something that you lived and that you did and you followed. So that was really important. Like, kind of it helped me have these foundational building blocks in my faith, that my parents, we had a really loving home, a really happy childhood growing up, and that all really helped. That I had great friends, a great relationship in the church, and that they just, that foundation was there. And I think that was really important for me, because when I was about 16, I just really started to struggle with just this, I think this idea of who I should be or who I should grow up to be. Like, 16 is such a difficult age in that, I mean, you're around that age now, so you kind of get it. Like, you're expected to be almost an adult, but you're not. And I think I always had really strong ideas of, like, who I was, or that eventually one day I would be this person, and like how I acted, how I would look. And it just all started to really kind of bog me down, that I just kind of felt like I kind of created an image of, like, who Christian Gemma should be, like the level that I should be. And I was always trying to get there. In earnest, like, it wasn't an act. I wasn't, like, trying to be somebody that I wasn't.
Yeah.
I was just always very, and I still am now, but I've always been very hard on myself, that, like, if I can't do something or I find something difficult, it's like, this is not, like, I'll have, like, an inner voice where it's like, this is something normal people can do. Like, why can't you do it? Or people don't struggle with this. Why are you struggling with it? And I think when I got to about 16, those voices are amplified anyway when you're that age, aren't they? You know, you're going through a lot of changes, you're having to make decisions. And I just found it all really tough, and just trying to become the Christian version of me that I thought I had to be, whilst inside just very strongly despising myself, just didn't like who I was, just always felt like in any situation I have to be kinder, I have to be nicer, but just kind of always giving myself, like, a mental beatdown of, like, why did you say that? Why did you do that? Or why didn't you say anything? This kind of thing. And it just all kind of got on top of me. And then, like, about 16, 17, then just had massive kind of body issues, and just felt really worthless in myself, and was kind of very frightened that other people could see it, that other people could see that I hated myself. And so it just all kind of became this kind of dance that I did, where I just didn't want anyone to know. So I didn't talk to anyone. I didn't open up to anyone. It was just all about, trying to be better, trying to be this person that I thought I had to be, so that people would like me and people would love me. And it was very, very difficult. I had a relationship at the time, and that was kind of where I got my worth from, that it was like, because this person loved me, that I was worth something then, you know. So even though I was massively struggling inside, I just thought, like, well, if they care for me, then maybe I'm worth caring for. And it's no surprise, obviously, that relationship didn't last, because I was very much a shell of a person. I couldn't open up. I could barely talk in the end to them. I couldn't, like, make eye contact with people. I just hated the idea of people looking at me and seeing me. Like, I thought, if we're making eye contact now, like, that would make me so uncomfortable, because I think you're looking at me and you're seeing all these things that I hate about myself. You can see it. Like, I couldn't hear if people were talking to me and we were making eye contact. I couldn't hear anything they said, because all I could think about is, like, they're seeing me and they're going to not like me. So it was really tough. So when the relationship broke down, then any kind of self-worth that I had went away. And I was really clinging to God in that time, just kind of begging him to help me through it. And I remember very clearly one day having this this vision that I was sitting in my bedroom, like, with my back to the door, and that God was on the other side of the door. So that he was there, but his presence wasn't with me. And at the time, I interpreted it as that God was there, but I was going to have to, like, try and break through. Like, I had to break through to get to him. That his presence, that he was there, but I couldn't feel his presence. I felt like that for years, that that's what it was. And it wasn't until I looked back and realized the vision that I was having, I was sitting on the side of the door where the door opens into my room. Mm. And God was trying to tell me, you're not letting me in. That it wasn't that he was outside not wanting to come in. It was that he couldn't get in because I wasn't letting him there. And that was very much what was happening. I couldn't open up to anyone. I didn't want to hear. I would pray, but more so for God to take it away, take away the feelings. I didn't want to work on them. I didn't want to confront how I was feeling. I didn't want to tell people that I was very clearly struggling with an eating disorder. I just wanted it all to go away. Mm. So yeah, it was very difficult. And I think just more and more, because I was reluctant to let anyone, even God, really know what was happening, I just couldn't open up. Mm. And so, yeah, so that just was a really, really dark and difficult time. For myself. And I think it just naturally then I just retreated. So I was around, I was always in church, I'd always go to youth, I'd always be at a Bible study, but I wasn't there, you know, like I'd really retreated. I wasn't opening up to anyone, like nobody knew. I don't think my parents, might be a bit of a shock, sorry mom and dad. I don't think anybody really knew. I've never like come out and said, you know, like, oh, I wouldn't say I had an eating disorder, but I wasn't eating, wasn't sleeping, I wasn't eating. And it was really tough. And I think because I was so unreachable, God then put people in my life to reach me.
Amazing.
And so at the time we had a fantastic youth pastor, Phil Morgan, who's now a preacher in Barrie. And he was out for a run one day and I bumped into him and he said to me, he's like, look, God, I don't know what's going on with you, but God is trying to get through to you, you know, and like the situation that you're in now, it's going to be your happiness. And that situation was that I'd met my now husband, Martin. Oh. He has his own testimony and he kind of has his own story of how he came to God. But at the time when we met, I was 18, he was in his early 20s. I think he was about 20 when we met. He wasn't a Christian. And so that felt really, like the fact that I had very strong feelings for him, we had a friendship which matured into a relationship. That was another reason why I thought, like, God just must hate me, that like I've fallen in love with this boy that like he would just not want me to be with. And Martin was nothing but a support and a love to me. That was all he was. Even before we were in a relationship, he just, his friendship gave me such a security and a confidence in myself that I'd never experienced in my whole life. And so I couldn't open up. And so Phil kind of finding me on this run and saying like, look, God wants you to know this is your happiness. Like, this is what I want for you. Kind of took me aback a bit. And I was able to kind of start letting go, I think, just kind of letting go of this idea of like, I think I just kind of built it up that like, I can't come back to God until I was all of these things. And because I was getting further and further away from those things, then like God wouldn't want to know. Like I didn't want to pray and have him say, oh yeah, I get how you're feeling, but you're in a relationship I don't want you to be in. When really all along he was trying to tell me like, look, I'm going to heal you through this. This is what I want for you. Like you're going to come back to me. I just want you to let me in. And so just over the years then, it's just, I think through a lot of prayer and a lot of trying to understand myself and praying for wisdom, I think has really pulled me through. Like God's kind of given me a lot of insight into why I said certain things or felt certain things or why I punished myself the way that I did. And that's all come from like wisdom and hindsight afterwards. Mm. And it's been really healing, you know, like I'd say it's been maybe 7 or 8 years that I've kind of been sober from feeling that way.
Yeah.
Like I do feel like now like I'm totally healed from it because God's given me wisdom to see what my triggers are and to see like, or when I start having these really horrible thoughts about myself, that God's kind of like, but you don't have to feel that way. Or, you know, kind of putting me in check, you know, like that, like, nobody's thinking that about you. Like, because we're very self-absorbed, aren't we, really? Mm. We think if we make a mistake or we do something wrong or we say something that everyone's looking at us, everyone can hear us and everyone can see us.
Mm.
And that was where my insecurity was I really didn't want to be seen. And so, yeah, it was really, it's been very powerful to have God heal me in that way, you know, to kind of use wisdom as a tool to be like, you understand yourself now and you no longer feel that way about yourself. Because this was all before, you know, social media.
Yeah.
Like I think when a lot of this was happening, Facebook was very, very new.
Yeah.
It wasn't really a thing. So it had nothing to do with like social media, which a lot of people I think perhaps might feel the way that I felt and mask that with social media now. But this was all before that, you know. And so I think it's something that, like, maybe we all kind of have these insecurities in ourselves, and it's important to understand, like, why you're feeling that way, because it can help guide you out of it, you know?
Yeah. Thanks for sharing that, Gemma. Sounds like a difficult situation to go through.
Yeah, and I think, like, the few times I haven't really opened up about it much.
Yeah.
Obviously, I did with Martin when I was in the midst of it and was able to kind of tell him how I was feeling, and that was a support to me, because he was someone who wasn't a Christian, so he didn't understand this idea of that, like, all these ways I should be acting. He kind of didn't understand that. He was like, okay, he was like, but what's so wrong with you then? Like, why wouldn't God love you?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, you just don't get it. But it was kind of like those questions just did kind of make me take a breath and be like, why wouldn't God love me? But God does love me. I know he loves me. And so, yeah, it is really weird. But the more I've spoken about it as I've gotten older, I just realised that a lot of us do feel the same way.
Yeah.
Maybe not as to the extreme that I was feeling it, to the point where perhaps you have a lot of self-loathing. But I think we do all have these insecurities. And definitely, I think, where you think you can't come to God because you think you're not in the right place to come to him, and that's the last thing that he wants.
Not worthy enough, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So what do you think then makes Christianity unique and different compared to other religions?
Yeah, I think for me, what sets Christianity apart is that it's real. It's all about having a real relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't about who you are or what you can do. It's about what Jesus and God did for us. And accepting that. And that's the first step, is just accepting God's love. And just kind of taking that forward. And then everything else follows after that. You know, it's all about your connection with him, as opposed to like this idea of religion where it's all about the things that you do. It really is. It's not really anything about you. It's all about God and what he's done and how much he loves us.
Yeah, that's great. It's easy, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And that's the thing, is that, like, we beat ourselves down, but it is that easy. It's that simple. Like, Jesus died for us. And if you believe that, then you're already halfway there.
Yeah.
You know? And everything else follows.
So do you have anything you want to add and say to anyone listening?
Yeah, I guess as hard as it is, and this is coming from personal experience, like, you have to get over yourself. Like, don't let your insecurities or your ideas of who you think God is or what you think God wants stop you from coming to God. Like, that's just like the story of my life, I think, where you have to take everything back to God, whether it's good, bad, or ugly, you know, like, God is the one who can help you with it, whether it's through healing or totally working in a situation, or whether it's, as my experience, where he's giving you that wisdom afterwards that kind of gives you that retrospective healing. Because, you know, the Bible does talk an awful lot, more than anything, any other gift, is about, like, ask for wisdom. And so I would just say, like, if you're really struggling coming to God, then pray that he gives you the wisdom to understand the situation that you're in. Because so much healing can come from having wisdom.
Yeah. Sometimes it's easier said than done, though, isn't it?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And it is. It's sort of, like, it's even something now that I say, like, if people ask for, like, prayer points for me, it's like, please pray that I can get over myself. Because, like, the biggest blockade in my life is myself. Like, I'm putting myself either before others or in between good things that God has got for me. And so I understand it. But, yeah, but please, like, you know, turn to God, pray to God, ask for wisdom. Like, those are the best things that you can do.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you so much, Gemma, for joining me today.
Yeah.
What you said was really encouraging, and thanks, I know that people listening will take a lot from what you said.
Thanks, Liv. It's been a pleasure. Thank you
I'm
for having
so glad.
Me.
So guys, don't forget to subscribe on either Spotify or Apple Podcasts so you never miss an episode. And make sure to follow us on all social media platforms to keep up with updates and what we get to. Bye, guys.
Bye.